Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you guys do similar stuff with that as far as your analytics team and kind of setting a number that you think is attainable for your team on a given year?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, it's analytics is one of the things that we study and use in every decision that we make and kind of trying to project where we're going to be at compared to our competition throughout the season. And so we do that at a team level for ourselves in the league. We also do it more granular level with players and just trying to project to what level players contribute to winning and what types of wins they can produce as well. We do that for the whole league. So it's absolutely part of what we do.
So then using that win total, is that what you base judging the coaching staff on to that point? If that number isn't attained at the end of the year, or what goes into that?
Absolutely not. No, so analytics is a piece of that. That projection is just a piece of the analytics. So if you kind of keep stepping down, it's not saying it doesn't matter, but it's a small part of the overall discussion and evaluation of our team and everything that goes into our season. So no, it's not a specific metric used to evaluate coaching staff at all.
Would you say the Bucks have lived up to the expectations you had for them at the beginning of the year?
Absolutely. You know, I think, again, so we're you know, a little bit over the halfway point so far this year. You look at 2 years ago, we had a team that was 18-25 at this point. You look at last season, we were 20-23. This year, we're 23-20. And we feel like we've had a couple tough stretches in our schedule. And so this is a team that I think is going to continue to grow, continue to play better together. We've had Eric now for, I think, 20 to 25 games in the season, and we've been significantly better once we've had Eric. And so, I think that we are at where we expected to be and hoping to finish the season in a strong way here in the back half of the season.
Joe, what are you guys thinking about? I'm just going to ask anyway. What are you guys thinking about? Maybe you guys are rumored into a lot of moves with DeAndre Jordan and a lot of other players out there. Are you guys still looking around, thinking about how we can still make this team better than what it is right now?
Gary, to talk about like the rumor piece of it, so trade rumors, player rumors, that's just part of our business, great fodder for fans, sports radio. I mean, it's part of what we do. To talk about our roster and what we're trying to do, I mean, we constantly are trying to figure out how to improve this team and take a next step, but we're not going to do it at the expense of skipping any steps or being too short-term thinking. So we always have the lens of long-term view and goal for this franchise, and we continue to look at things through that lens. But we're never going to stop working, never going to stop trying to improve the team and get better than where we're at right now.
That's well said. I think then if you look at, because I'm looking at maybe not needing to make a trade, but you look at Jabari Parker, and that be a guy that you can add to your roster. How close are we to seeing him coming back?
Oh, man, it feels really close in relation to, you know, you think about, it hasn't even been a year since he tore his ACL. He's been practicing with us. He's been practicing with a herd. He's on track with all of his rehab, checking all the boxes for that and his recovery. And I think, you know, we're going to see him here, you know, I think in the next few weeks, and we're really excited about the idea of having him back on this team and what he could bring to this team.
Talking with Bucks General Manager John Horst here on the Wendy's Big Show on a Milwaukee Bucks Tuesday here on The Fan.
Hey, John, I know you're still busy, got a chance to see what the Packers are doing. They've made some changes, and one of the biggest things that was kind of disruptive, some of the fans don't necessarily like the way the hierarchy has gone now. In other words, you know, the president, the coach answers to the president. In other words, you know, Mike McCarthy's boss is, you know, Mark Murphy. In your situation, because I'm a huge Jason Kidd fan for whatever reason, now, are you in charge of the coach, or is that ownership, or do you guys collectively do it, or is it something that's just in your corner, you can make decisions how you want to?
Well, I mean, first of all, Roy, like, owners own a team, and they're ultimate decision makers and ultimate. I mean, this is their team and their franchise, mm-hmm. and they put people in place that they trust to have strong recommendations and educated recommendations and opinions to kind of drive those decisions. And so, you know, myself, Jason, Peter Fagan on the business side, we all work in partnership with each other and work with our owners to drive toward group decisions. And it doesn't mean we always agree on everything or that we don't ever disagree, of course. I mean, we have strong opinions, but they trust us to do that, and they let us do our jobs. They let us do them at a high level in our areas. And so I'm very fortunate to work in an environment like this where, you know, my opinion matters, Jason's opinion matters and everything, and Peter's does, and we have great ownership that supports us in that.
See, I think that's the best way. I think that's very healthy.
We've got to have good communication.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be playing Miami, a team that's made a pretty good jump. I mean, they're going to, like, if everything ended, they'll be in the playoffs. Now, that team is pretty close to where, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 like you guys are. But what do you think you guys need to improve on the road? Because at home it seems to be everything's fine, but they're 9-12 on the, you know, away from the arena. How you want your guys to stay focused away from Milwaukee?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a lack of focus or not. It's hard to win in professional sports no matter what.
You got that right. That's true.
You know, so I think yes. I think I don't know. You know, I've actually been relatively happy with what we've been able to do on the road so far. Again, we've played some tough opponents. We've had some awkward back-to-backs. We've had some weird travel. You know, I'll give you an example. We played the 3 Texas teams this year in 3 different trips. So we went to Texas 3 times this year. I don't know if a team's ever done that before. It's crazy. And so, I mean, I think when you kind of look at the full lens of what we've been able to do, again, just a little over halfway through the season, I'm happy with where we're at on the road. Doesn't mean we can't improve, but I really don't think it's a lack of focus on our guys. Our guys are very focused, very high character, high talented guys. I just think some of it's circumstantial and things that, you know, we'll continue to improve on as the season evolves.
As far as Jabari goes, are you expecting him to play after the trade deadline or before the trade deadline?
Sparky, I think, you know, it's funny, I'm not trying to take the easy answer. It's going to be right around. I mean, it really is going to be right around the trade deadline. I think there's a chance that maybe we see him briefly before that and then use kind of those rest days after the fact to really try to fine-tune things. But it's going to be right around that point. We expect Jabari to be back, and we're excited for that.
John, I don't know. I'm sure you're well aware of this. I'm sure people tell you about social media and what happens there and what happens on the talk shows and so forth. And
crazy. We
have a campaign that some have started with the hashtag FireKid, and it's been going on for a while. So this is the opportunity that I get to let you explain your side of things, because we here on the show have been defending, and I'm quite frankly sick of it.
We blocked all those people.
I'm quite frankly sick of defending. So we'll just go at these one at a time here. First off, why Jason Kidd as the head coach, and how do you think he's done so far this year?
Well, Jason, first of all, Jason has Hall of Fame credentials, knows the game as well as anyone inside and out. You know, I think Jason does a great job of trying to put players in the best possible position to succeed. I mean, he's highly competitive, wants to win. You know, run through things. You look at the development of Giannis, the development of Fawn, you know, Sterling starting to come along. I think beyond himself, he has a great staff that develops players. And so there's a lot of positives there. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, Jason and his staff are doing the best that they can, just like we're doing the best that we can to have a roster in place to have success. And I'll go back and say that this is a team that 2 seasons ago was 7 games under 500 at this point. Last year was 3 games under, and this year's 3 games over. We still do have a young group of guys. I know not everyone loves hearing that, but young not only in age, but young in experience and young in just playing together at some level. And I think, you know, for the most part, this team is going in the right direction, and we hope that continues.
The other one that people are intrigued by, mainly I think because of the Packers situation and their structure now with McCarthy reporting to the owner, not to the general manager, which means now the president, sorry, it's the Packers, Mark Murphy, has control of whether or not to fire the head coach. What is the structure like for the Bucs as far as Jason Kidd, who he reports to, who has the ability to hire or fire the head coach?
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of answered that. I think it was maybe Leroy's question earlier, but that's our structure is very, very collaborative in that being with Peter and myself and the owners. where we all, you know, we all have a voice, we all have an opinion, and we spend time together discussing and trying to get to the best result no matter what that decision is.
Talking with Bucks GM John Horst here on The Fan. Other questions coming in using the hashtag AskBucksGM. Several of them wanting to know about Gerald Green or DeAndre Liggins and the decision to go with DeAndre Liggins over Gerald Green. We all know the reason why this is a story, because Gerald Green, who had been out of the league for most of the year, has been red hot for the last 2 or 3 weeks with the Rockets. So now Bucks fans come clamoring, wanting to know why they don't have Gerald Green on the Bucks instead. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Gerald Green got a great opportunity during our training camp and preseason to play, and didn't play to the level that we felt that we wanted to keep him at that time. And if you remember, it's not like DeAndre was on our roster at that time. We actually decided not to keep any of the guys for the training camp roster. We cut all of them, and at a later point, we picked up DeAndre. DeAndre, if you look at the team that we have now, at the time, we just felt like we had a really big void, defensive presence on the ball, energy, athleticism, just kind of the tenacious guy that he was, and did a great job for us in the period of time that he was with us. And I think you can really just look at our metrics of our team right now. We're one of the best, you know, we're a top 10 offensive team, offensive rating in the league, and we're, you know, bottom 10 defensively. So although Gerald Green is lighting it up right now, he didn't light it up for us. And at the same time, we have a much better offense than we do a defense. And so that's really what drove our decision.
What about Rashad Vaughn and his ability not to really play on this basketball team, but still be on the bench, but still not be in the Gator League either, as far as taking up a roster spot, but yet not play?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Rashad is doing everything that he can. He's taking a professional approach to this. He's still a very young player. He's developing every day. I think that the G League is an opportunity for young guys if they want to do that. And that's something that, you know, we'll continue to look at with Rashad. But also, like, just because a guy's not playing right now doesn't mean that he's not going to play later. He's still a capable player, and he's still a young guy that has a chance to get better. So we're not writing any final books on Rashad Vaughn yet.
JS tweets at The Fan News and the hashtag AskBucksGM. Who determines when two-way players are brought up to the Bucks?
So another great, you know, again, another kind of great example of our collaborative process. We have Dave Dean, who's a general manager of our G League team, myself, Coach Kidd, some of our supporting staff. Every time that we decide to send a guy up or down, we get together, we talk about it, we talk about the scheduling and you know, what the potential need could be at either team, and we come to a group decision on it, and then we do it. So I think it's worked really well with guys like Gary Payton, Joel Ballenboy, Sean Kilpatrick in the short period of time he was on two-way with us. We've gotten, here's a little stat for you, we actually have more games started and played and more minutes played out of our two-way combinations than any other team in the NBA. So we've used them, I think, quite effectively. And our guys that we've had on two-ways and are no longer with us have gotten opportunities elsewhere in the league. So we think we got high-quality guys as well.
Another one here on Twitter. Got a ton of questions. A continuous loop of mediocrity is his name. What's your opinion on Chris Middleton and Giannis being first and second, respectively, in minutes played per game this year?
I think that, obviously, you always want to be cautious with minutes, and you want to look for opportunities to not overload guys with minutes. But I think what you would find, and I don't have it in front of me right now, Sparky, maybe you do, if you went through the top 10 minute getters in the league, you're going to be talking about the top players in the league. So I actually think that's probably a credit to those guys and showing how good they are and how much they need to be on the floor. And they're on the floor for a team who's having success. So if they were getting number one and number two in minutes in the league and we weren't any good and it wasn't helping us, I'd be more concerned. But the fact that they're contributing and winning, I'm actually quite happy with that.
I think I covered everything that I saw that came up here on Twitter. If I missed any, I apologize, but I think I covered. There was a lot of duplicates, but I think we got a lot of them.
Well, he's a busy man. We got to let him get
for
back
Bucks
to work.
GM John Horst. I got one other one for you on the way out, just a fun one. I don't know if you saw the Clippers. Well, it really wasn't a scrum, but in the Rockets, that whole deal that went down last night, they took a secret tunnel or something to get to the Clippers locker room, and people were messing around whether or not the new arena will have a secret tunnel for players.
I'm not sure. I have to ask Peter. Maybe they started the drawings this morning after last night's events. I'm not sure, but
That is crazy. I didn't even know such a thing existed, but I guess there is, and I guess
we won't know about it.
That's it. Okay. Why would you put that in the plan to begin with? No idea.
What's wrong with that?
John, thanks so much.
How you think I'm gonna get the side chicks in?
Oh boy, John, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.